Who was the first prophet mentioned in the Bible? You might be surprised when you learn the answer. Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses God's first prophet today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is talking about God's first prophet. What makes this such an interesting study is that this man is mentioned in the Old Testament, but we wouldn't have known he was a prophet if it wasn't for the New Testament. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
Thank you. We welcome you, listening friend, to the program today. It's good to have you with us as we continue our series of studies dealing with the life and ministry of God's first prophet, Enoch. And so far, we've looked at Enoch's fellowship. The Bible says he walked with God. And we've seen Enoch's faith. And we looked at Hebrews 11, where Enoch is listed as one of the great heroes of the faith. And then when we finished up last time, we were looking at Enoch's function. And we saw that Enoch functioned as a prophet. And he prophesied three things. First, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Secondly, God's coming judgment on the ungodly. And thirdly, conditions in the last days. Now, it's interesting that when I've given this teaching before, some people have objected to my calling Enoch a prophet, even though the book of Jude clearly says that he prophesied. But they object on the basis that Enoch wasn't Jewish, that he was a Gentile, because they say all the prophets were Jewish in the Bible. So how could Enoch be a prophet? Well, if that's the case, my friend, then you won't have any prophets until the time of Jacob, because there were no Israelites until the time of Jacob and no Jews until the time of Judah. That's where the word Jew came from. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to use that same line of reasoning, you could say that Abraham himself wasn't Jewish. I mean, he lived before Jacob and Judah, so he was a Gentile in the sense that he lived before there were any Jews or Israelites. But that's foolish. Everyone recognizes Abraham as the great patriarch of the Jewish nation. No one would argue with that point. You see, the truth is that Enoch was just as Jewish as anyone else who lived prior to the time of Abraham. Enoch is listed right along with Abraham in the Messianic genealogy in Luke chapter 3. So there's no reason to disqualify Enoch as a prophet because he wasn't a Jew or an Israelite in the classical meaning of those terms. Enoch functioned as a prophet. Well, that's Enoch's fellowship, his faith, and his function. Now let's move on quickly and look at his fate. What happened to him? Well, we'll find the answer to that question when we turn back to the passage where we began this study last week, and that's in Genesis chapter 5. Listen to this, Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This man Enoch walked with God, it says. And remember, on the last program, we saw that Enoch knew Adam and possibly Eve, because Adam didn't die until Enoch was 300 years old. And if we assume that Enoch had opportunities to talk with Adam, and he probably did, maybe Enoch was so fascinated with the intimacy of fellowship Adam and Eve had with the Lord God in the Garden of Eden, when they would walk and talk together in the cool of the evening. And I can just imagine Enoch saying, Adam, do you think I could walk with God like that and fellowship with God like you used to? You see, my friend, Enoch had a heart for God, and he did achieve that fellowship he wanted with God, because it says, and Enoch walked with God. Listen, what sets Christianity apart from all the other religions of the world, among other things, is the fact that this Bible teaches that sinful man can come to God and know God in a personal way through Jesus Christ. We received a letter the other day from a Muslim man, and I didn't bring it into the studio with me. I should have, but this man lives in Iraq, a very troubled part of the world right now. And he's been listening to our shortwave broadcast over Trans World Radio. And he said the thing that really got his attention was the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ offered him a personal relationship with God. He said the Muslims are taught that God is so holy and man is so sinful, and God is up there and we're down here, so that personal communion with God is impossible. And he had never heard anything like the gospel before. But Enoch shows us that it is possible because Enoch walked with God. Now, what else does it say? Look at this. It says, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. He just disappeared. He was not found. Apparently, there was a search for Enoch, just like there was for Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2 when he disappeared. And it says they couldn't find Enoch because God took him. God just took him. Enoch was translated from earth to heaven, just like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be translated at the rapture. We have that wonderful promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a familiar passage where Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So what happened to Enoch and what happened to Elijah, both of whom were translated and went directly to heaven without passing through the barrier of physical death? What happened to Enoch and Elijah foreshadows the future destiny of the church. Listen, Enoch's translation depicts the destiny of that generation of believers who will be alive at the time of the rapture. The rapture is the first stage of that 7-year sequence of events known as the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know that Enoch had a tremendous amount of revelation on the second coming because that's what he prophesied about primarily. And I don't know how it came about, but maybe he and the Lord were talking about the second coming, and the Lord was explaining to him about the rapture. And Enoch said, Lord, how are you going to do that? I mean, that sounds so unbelievable. And the Lord said, come on, Enoch, let me show you. And Enoch left everything behind, his family, his friends, his belongings, everything. And do you know what? I don't think he even looked back. That was Enoch's fate. And now, finally, let's wrap up our discussion of God's first prophet by looking at his future. And it's interesting, when you look at the Bible, there were only two people in the whole history of the world who never experienced physical death. Two people, Enoch and Elijah. Both of them prophets. Both of them taken directly to heaven. The only two who never died. It's almost like those two men have been reserved for some great prophetic task. But what could it be? Well, many scholars believe the answer to that question may be found in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11 is where we read about the mysterious appearance of those two prophets on the streets of Jerusalem during the tribulation period. And it says here in verse 3 of Revelation 11, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Could it be that these two witnesses during the tribulation will be Enoch and Elijah returned to earth? I think so. I think it's possible. It certainly seems to be consistent with what we know about the ministries of these two men, and also the fact that Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And since Enoch and Elijah, like all men, are appointed once to die, according to that verse, it should be necessary at some point in time for those two men to experience death. And that's exactly what happens to those two prophets in Revelation 11, because it says they are killed in the streets of Jerusalem. And then God resurrects them 3.5 days later. Do you remember at the beginning of this study, I told you I believe Enoch is one of the most fascinating characters in the entire Bible? You remember me saying that? Well, now you know why. That's Enoch's fellowship, his faith, his function, his fate, and his future. Now, in the few moments I've got left, let me just encourage you, if I may, with some practical things we learn from the story of Enoch. For example, Enoch teaches us that there is a future state, another life beyond this one. Enoch passed through that veil without having to experience physical death. He went into another life. That's one lesson we learn from the story of Enoch. Another lesson we learn is that heaven is a real place. It's not just some never-never land or a state of mind or a figment of the imagination. It's a real place. If we were there right now, we could actually kneel down and touch those golden streets. That's where Enoch and Elijah are today, in their physical bodies. So it's a real place. And finally, a third practical lesson we learn from Enoch is that Satan's power to assail God's people has been limited by God. You know, some people are so intimidated by the devil, they're convinced they'll never be able to live a victorious Christian life. I mean, he has them eating out of his hand. They're just trying to hang on by a thread until the Lord comes back. They've been brainwashed. But let me tell you something, my friend. God never allows you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And although Satan is powerful, and he certainly is powerful, he can only function within the limitations imposed on him by God Almighty. We learn that from the book of Job. And the life of Enoch shows us that it is possible. Listen. It is possible to have that intimacy of fellowship with the Lord. In fact, it's easier for us because we live under the new covenant of grace, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And even Enoch didn't have that. Well, you know me, I could go on all day long, and there really are many more things we could say about Enoch, but that's all the time we've got for today, so we'll wrap it up there. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We've been listening to our Bible teacher, Dr. Gary Hedrick, talking about God's first prophet. If you'd like your own copy of Gary's series, or would like a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that it's available on CD for the suggested gift of just $6. The title is God's First Prophet, or ask for program number GT6. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick begins his series on When Will the End Come? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.